found on page 973 in the Blue Pew Bibles. Page 973, Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 9. The calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Be with you, and particularly with the baptism parties that have joined us this morning. Let's just pray before I start to speak. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take these words and use them to bring glory to you and you alone, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In your minds, I'd like you to take you back to your time at school. Now, for some of us, that's easier to think about than the others, isn't it? But I'm helped, actually, by an article in yesterday's Times, and it was entitled, "Crocodiles Dropped." And it's about a primary school that stopped forcing children to walk in single file with their hands clasped behind their backs, because parents said it made the children look as if they were in a chain gang. Well, they had a really good headmistress there who introduced this university walk, it's called, I didn't know it was called that, last year, to strengthen pupils' safety and to maximise learning time. I'm not quite certain how that works. And to raise their aspirations. Walking in single file. Well, she's actually been replaced as headmistress, which is a shame because that school was doing very well. But we'll see what happens. The rule's now been dropped. What I want you to think about in your minds, certainly it happened in my day, it might well be banned now, but you had all the kids in your class lined up in a row, and two children were chosen to be leaders, and they're picked teams. Can you remember that? Hands up if anybody can remember that happening to them. And I'm just trying to think for you what it was like, depending what the game was, of if you were picked first. Great, you know, you're really there, aren't you? If you're picked in the middle, well, that's okay. But what happens if you're the last one to be picked? And that sort of consistently happens. It would be a bit of a downer, wouldn't it? So that's the sort of background that I'd like you to think into this morning. Because Jesus went about picking his team in a completely different way. He knew that he didn't have long to be on earth. He had that sort of knowledge, and he had to pick a group of people that were going to carry on with his work once he was gone. Just want you to think a little bit about the people he chose. Peter and Andrew and James and his brother John, they were all fishermen. No formal education, no special privileges, and they weren't in a position of influence. And they were the inner circle of the people they had working for them. In Acts, it describes them as being unschooled, ordinary men. then probably the most unlikely person for Jesus to choose was Matthew. And that's who we're thinking about this morning. As Jesus went on from there, it says in the Bible, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. In one of the versions, in the older version of the Bible, Matthew was called Levi, the son of Alphaeus. And one of the other disciples, actually James, was also the son of Alphaeus, so probably his brother. Now, we don't know if Jesus gave Matthew his name. He was called Levi before, a bit like Simon Peter, maybe Simon being named Peter by Jesus. Now, in some countries, it's often the custom to change your name when you become Christians. Wendy did a spell in doing VSO in Tanzania about 44 years ago. We're going back out there again in November. But while she was there, it was quite usual for some of the children of the school she was working at to change their names, particularly if they'd been Muslim before. Names like, and I'm going to get this wrong, Mwand Endi became Hannah, Hamida became Mary, and maybe Levi became Matthew. I want us to think a little bit about Matthew, what Matthew was like. We know he was a customs officer, and he had authority to make people open up their bags, just like the customs officer that you'll find at an airport. He could make you open your bags. He could even take you somewhere and strip search you if he felt that you had things to give. And in a way, that gave him great power. He could have taken whatever he wanted off of people. Customs officers were hated by their fellow Jews, despised as pariahs, because they were collecting money on behalf of the Romans. They were traitors in a way. God was the only one who should have a tribute paid to him, not to a foreign nation. And when you read about them, they were classed in the same category as murderers and robbers and tax collectors, classed together. Tax gatherers weren't allowed to be witnesses in court. They weren't allowed to be judges. They were debarred from worship. And that's why we hear in that parable that Jesus told us about the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. The tax collector stood at a distance. Now, in character, the tax collectors were often unjust. They took more than they were entitled to. And that's why when the tax collectors came to Jesus to ask him what they should do, this is in Luke chapter 3, Jesus tells them, don't collect any more than you are required to. So why on earth did Jesus choose Matthew to be one of his disciples? Jesus said to Matthew, follow me. It was an instruction to leave everything behind: his job, his wealth, his position, his security. And that was only to work a lot harder for Jesus. This sinner, this traitor, got up and followed Jesus. Matthew wrote things down as part of his job, and he kept records. And it's true to say that without Matthew, we wouldn't know quite a substantial amount about Jesus' life and work. Jesus showed an acceptance of many people who were far from perfect, people who were shunned and despised by the general public. There's the little bit that follows in the passage we read. You know, Matthew was so excited that he gave a banquet for Jesus and the disciples, gave Jesus a place of honour in his house. But criticism followed Jesus straight away. The Pharisees turned up also at the house and they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus overheard what they said, and he was talked about it was only the sick that needed a doctor. And he said he had not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And Matthew certainly knew that he was a sinner. So, question, how about you and me? How are we responding to Jesus' call? While Wendy was off doing her VSO in Tanzania all those years ago, before we were married, Michael Vasey, one of the curates at our church, came round to me. He limped round. Michael had... forgot the name of it now. Michael had a damaged leg as a child anyway, and he asked me if I'd be willing to help run the Pathfinder group here. That was the 11 to 14 year olds. He took me down the pub to ask me. I don't know whether he felt that was necessary, but anyway, I did volunteer for it, and I've got to say that it was a 14-year period that I sort of signed up to then, and I did another sort of 8 years later on. And I've got to say, they were some of the most exciting and life-changing years of my life. I'm aware at the moment that we need people to help lead the young people's groups. Talk to Andy about it if you felt, and I didn't feel, I'm an engineer, I wasn't a teacher or any that way, but life-changing years to be able to serve in that way. How about you? About 10 years ago, Mark, our present vicar, came round to my house, and I'm not certain if we did go down the pub that time or not, but he came round and he asked me if I'd be church warden. And to be church warden means that you sign on a piece of paper with a guy wearing a wig for responsibility for not only our church here, but the other three churches in our group, St. Philip's, St. Andrew's, and St. Saviour's Church. Big job. And we had pillars of the church that I look up to who have been church wardens before. People like Richard Roberts. Richard was my youth leader when I was young. People who I greatly respected. What on earth could I offer in that position? But it's funny, isn't it? There are things that you've got inside you that in Jesus' hands you can offer and help with. And it was great to be involved in, while I was church warden, several building projects within the church. It was something that was within my experience that came to use. But you need to be willing to offer first and just see where Jesus will take you. Listen to his call and see what he's asking you to do. Respond to that challenge. Matthew lived and preached and died for Jesus, and he's given us the most comprehensive account of Jesus' life. Matthew, the most unlikely disciple, didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose him. Just as he's choosing you and me, there are two verses from the Bible that back up that call, one from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says, "From the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." But Jesus made it even more personal in John 15, verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus chose Matthew. Jesus chose me and you. Not because we deserve it, not because we have anything particular to offer him, but because he wants us to believe in him, to trust in him with our lives and to follow him. We don't need to think we have anything special to offer, only to allow him to work in us and through us. And that's not just for the young, it's for people of any age. There's something for each of us to do. There's a song, music group, if you'd like to come back up again, that I'd like us to sing together as a prayer. And it's the song, "Take Me, Lord, Just As I Am." We won't stand up to sing this, we'll sing it sitting down.